Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. This is the round 26 recap, and don't adjust your screen. And it's not Clarky with a strong tan from his trip down to Melbourne. It is just a new guest, a fresh face for the recap. It is the man, Nicole, who should be a familiar face to many of you because he shared several try-scorer tips, Nicole, from Wiki. If you want to know firstly about me and the tripod tips, which is where we begin, if I tipped it out, it more than likely lost. Best bets 1 and 2, same game went down. If I didn't give it as an official tip, it probably won. You look at the Eels on Thursday night, you look at the Knights just gone. We've got a multi pending. I gave out the Winnieheimer multi, which is going to extend into round 27. We did go 4 out of 4 on those legs at least. And all those four teams, of course, covered the spread. But somehow I still managed to have a losing weekend. However, the man that is going to join me to recap and teach us kind of what he learned, had a much better weekend. He's going to bring the energy right back up and bring the positivity as well. Nicole, how are you doing, mate?
Mate, I'll bring a lot more enthusiasm, trust me. Can you guys hear me fine, by the way?
I think we've got you sweet now, mate. Look, mate, you've had a great weekend and a great season, but you can probably touch on it game by game. Why don't we go straight back to the first match of round 26, which was a crazy upset. I don't know if you saw this one coming. Parramatta, who were probably $7 or $8 head-to-head live underdogs. I said in the preview, maybe the best team I've ever seen line up as a 20-point underdog. Should have taken them, but I just didn't know if they really cared enough. They certainly did, went into Penrith and won 32-18. How did you see it?
That was wild, man. I think I actually said pre-game, I was like, you know what? The Eels are only missing Mitch Moses. He's huge. That's all they're missing. And then you had Dylan Edwards and I think 3 or 4 other Panthers missing. Mitch Kenny and obviously Luai going out or getting injured really flattened the game. But I couldn't say I would have tipped that. That was a huge shock.
Especially, yeah, it's annoying for me. I'm trying to kind of narrow it down to a window where I'll make my tips Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And, you know, Edwards was ruled out. And people tell me that when that news was out, that the line didn't even really drop. Like, there wasn't a lot of interest by anyone backing Parramatta because everyone knew they're on the bye next week. You know, their minds might just be on Bali. But if we knew that they could get up for this, and it did make sense because it's a rival and it's the team that beat you in the grand final, once Edwards was out as well, to get a line near 20 points, I am kicking myself. And I would have had it as a best bet as well, but I said I wanted to get at least 10 in the first half and everyone was sitting at 9.5. So someone said during the show there was a 10.5 elsewhere. In any case, certainly the Parramatta was up for it. And the biggest storyline out of this is the loss of Luai. And they're saying a similar injury to what Nathan Cleary had last year, but less time to get right. So maybe just before we move on, how do you assess Penrith's premiership hopes and credentials if you assume that Luai was not to come back into the team this campaign?
Yep, I think there's two levels to this. I don't want to go off track too much, but I think the first thing to look at is next week. So I remember, I'm pretty sure it was you or someone in the tripod group that tipped off that Cowboys-Panthers game last year when we thought, oh shit, everyone,
yes, you know,
Panthers are going to get rested, right? Yeah. So yeah, I definitely got on that. That was freaking awesome. But there's potential for something like that to happen. I personally reckon the Panthers are going to get nervous, you know, like they've got Luai's out for a bit. They've got a couple of other spine or key team members that are sort of playing on and off with injury. So I reckon there's a real opportunity, and obviously we'll discuss this on the Facebook group and stuff over the next few days, for that Panthers-Cowboys game potentially to get on an early line. And in terms of the season, I reckon this is actually a really big shock to the system, because I think when you think about it, yeah, they've missed Cleary for a few weeks, but in their finals tilt, I'm trying to remember in the last 3 or 4 years, they have had some ups and downs and origin and stuff, but have they had to play a prelim and a grand final without one of their stars?
Sorry.
I think that they've had a pretty clean run into the finals injury-wise for the last 4 years. Like, they've had guys missing for a few weeks here and there.
But they've always come back. I mean,
exactly. They've always been fine for the finals. So I think it's going to be a pretty big shock, to be honest. What about you?
Well, let me put you on the spot then. Would they be your favorite? Are they still, if you could pick anyone, they have a free roll.
I'd still have them favourites. The reason for that is because they've got to get through one game without Luai at home in week 1. If they win that, which I think at the moment is or whoever, if they win that, there's talk that Luai might make it back for the prelim. And obviously then it's they don't leave Sydney. That's the thing. If they had to leave Sydney, then I'd be worried, but I reckon they can make it all the way through. What about you?
Yeah, that's it. It's a pain, maybe a pain management issue if he can avoid the surgery. And no doubt Penrith would still be favoured in that week one finals game hosting New Zealand, even if no Luai. And then if they win that, you know, they'd be strong favourites in a prelim and they'd have 14 days. Of course, next week is the mystery, and maybe we will learn more on Tuesday. There was a report someone forwarded to me, one of the journos reporting out of Panther camp, that they do intend to name their strongest team. So some element of not wanting to go into the finals on back-to-back losses, Tungo wanting to get him into the side. You know, you can make the case that Cleary has already missed a bunch of games. However, when you see such a key player get injured, knowing it can happen at any moment, I don't know if, you know, getting an extra run together is worth that risk. And you've also could have guys that are borderline, like is Edwards going to be 100% next week? Other guys that have played rep games this year, I know they've already kind of got rests, your Yo's, your To'os, your Liam Martins of the side. But if there was any doubt, I'd be sitting people out. If people are curious, once the Panthers lost and therefore didn't control their minor premiership destiny, I actually thought the Cowboys may be a favourite, knowing that they'd most likely be in a do-or-die game in Penrith and the Panthers may have nothing to play for next week. But in fact, Penrith was still a 2.5-point favourite. Then the report came out that Penrith's planning on naming the strongest side. I saw the line grow up to 5.5. However, when I checked just now, it's back down to 3.5. Brisbane does still need to beat the Storm to take the minor premiership away from Penrith. Could get interesting too with who's named in the reserves and whether Penrith has a plan A and a plan B. Interested in what other people think about that and how they're playing that. For what it's worth, it is the final leg of my 10-1 or 12-1 multi that I gave out. So the idea was that very instance where Penrith has nothing to gain, Cowboys have everything to gain. We'll see how that plays out. And of course, we'll dive into it on Wednesday. Let's move to Thursday just gone, and let's talk about a game where I had a losing best bet because I took the Warriors to score over 31.5 team total. They only managed 18 points. They still did win 18-6 against the Dragons, so very low scoring and kind of dour affair. How many of the Warriors won in a row now? Am I right in saying 7?
Well, I was going to say they've won 3 since the bye, I think. And everyone keeps thinking, oh, this is the week that the Warriors will show up at home and put a cricket score on. And to be honest, I said the same thing. The Dragons have nothing to play for and they're playing in New Zealand. How the hell do they keep doing this?
Yeah, that's it. The Dragons, you didn't know what to expect. And to be fair, they were up for this game and they were in this game until late, really, until Warriors put them away. And that's been the case for the Warriors every week out of the bye. They haven't really turn the Jets on since that big win over Cronulla, which is going back about 6 weeks. I'll check the draw now just to remember when the last time New Zealand actually lost a game, because obviously that's going back even longer. But what did you make out of this game? Any kind of takeaways you had or prognostications about the Warriors moving forward? Because we're not going to see much more of St. George, but the Warriors, how far do you think they're going to go?
I think the takeaway for me, and I was like calling up for live try scorer plays and stuff for this one, because the Dragons were, I'm just trying to rack my brain a little bit in terms of what the hell happened. But I remember there was a point where Jacob Little was playing on the wing and me and a few of the guys in the group got on him next try scorer. And he'd literally like put the ball down an inch away from scoring a try. So that was just, it was chaos. I think it was 2 or 3 different Dragons players either got hurt and went off for the game or had a HIA or whatever. And the Warriors, like, they've got no excuses. They've got CNK at fullback. They had Johnson, Wade Egan. Like, Metcalf got injured a bit later in the game. But, like, they literally had no excuses. And they just, scraped a 12-point win against the Dragons side with nothing to play for, missing 3 or 4 key players, DeBellin, Sua. There's a couple of others that I'm missing. I don't know. I thought it was really disappointing for the Warriors and not a good sign. I don't know how you can – it's kind of like the Cowboys. Like, you keep thinking it – oh, sorry, and the Rabbitohs. You keep thinking it's coming. But it's a week to go to the finals. When's it coming?
And in fact, it was the Rabbitohs who were the last side to beat New Zealand. And that was such positive signs. The Rabbitohs weren't full strength, went to New Zealand, on a Friday night, undermanned and beat them. and you kind of go, oh, maybe New Zealand's not the real deal, and look what South Sydney could accomplish in a week where, you know, they were set up to lose. And in fact, those sides have gone completely reverse trajectories. Warriors haven't looked back, and it's funny because they're winning games, but they're not winning in dominant fashion. So whether they can flip a switch and go up a level, they're going to need to really make noise in the finals, because they would be underdogs in Brisbane, or most likely in Penrith. That's the matchup that's looming in the first week of the finals. And as for St. George, yeah, I'll actually give them credit that, you know, they put a scare into Melbourne, had a 14-point lead in that game, although they relinquished that. But even here in this game, I felt like the Dragons capitulated late. You know, the try that seals it is where Sloan, who seems to sometimes, you know, you wonder which team he's playing for, when he muffs, a pickup or opportunity to ground the ball and Fanua Blake scores. And that was kind of bizarre because Fanua Blake should have scored far earlier in the game. And my best bet was, the Warriors to score more than 31, which they fall well short of. But you just wonder sometimes if you get that bigger lead, whether the opponent lets go of the rope a bit earlier. And if people didn't see the game, Fanua Blake gets put through a beautiful hole and he's crossing the line. And this is just goes to show why defenders probably shouldn't give up on a play ever. But Fanua Blake crosses the try line with a big cheesy grin on his face. And he's got the ball and it's this close to the try line. And he actually pulls the ball back towards his body, all with this big smirk on his face, lands in the in goal. He's still somehow, for some reason, got the ball raised. And he's just laughing about how easily he scored, but he hadn't scored yet. And then Amon kind of twisted him. And then when he did try to finally put the ball down with some urgency, which took even longer than it has taken me to explain it, he lost it. And, you know, that's a killer, and that's 6 points off the board. And maybe the Warriors could have done it a bit easier. So it certainly frustrated me and started my weekend off a bit poorly with a losing best bet there. That was the early Friday night game. Let's move to later Friday night. So North Queensland came in, maybe with a new lease on life. They knew they'd have to win their final two games. But after seeing Penrith lose on Thursday, they would have known that it definitely increased the chances of a win in Penrith, because it reduced the chances of Penrith caring about that match. Just had to take care of business in this one at Suncorp against the Finns, who have kind of run out of petrol as the season has come to an end. And Cowboys got back on track after, I think it was three super disappointing outings by North Queensland where you were ready to give up on them, led this game something like 24-0. But what did you learn out of this one?
I think the thing that makes me anxious about this game, I forgot whether it was this game. Was it this game that Nanai returned and then hurt his shoulder again? Or was that last week?
Last week. So last week he came back. And that's, I mean, I was on him last week against the Sharks. And they give up 26 unanswered. You know, obviously the Dolphins are not such a tough matchup as Cronulla, but the Cowboys look to have energy and life again.
I think the most worrying thing about this week for the Cowboys is that it kind of almost, like, if I was going to be tipping on next week or getting on early lines or just giving my 2 cents, I think the worrisome thing here is you're up against Dolphins side, who obviously don't have too much to play for and are missing a few troops. And you are still missing Nanai and Val Holmes. And if Penrith, say, rest a couple of players, but most of their side's still playing and it's in Penrith, it's almost like it's giving you false hope a little bit, sort of like beating up a Dolphins side, not much to play for in Queensland, and then going to Sydney with most of the Panther side actually playing. Like, I'm on that. I think I forgot if it was you or I that sort of promoted that Cowboys to make the 8 bet. But whatever your combination was, that Cowboys futures bet, all of that stuff, I'm all on the Cowboys. But I just hope it's not a false dawn, and I hope they can back it up and sort of go in with that confidence against Penrith next week, because they'd be electric to watch with Holmes and Nanai back in week one of the finals.
That's right. So after Parramatta defeated Penrith, you were saying you can get Cowboys at $5 to make the 8, right, yeah, and you can get Raiders at $5.50 to miss. So I'm just thinking now, so is that still good odds? Because the Cowboys would, they obviously need to win, which currently they're sitting at about $2.50.
They just need to win.
They don't need the Roosters to beat Souths? Well, I think if Souths win, Souths will get in. Mm-hmm. But then that final spot, I think the Cowboys still would also need, or they need one of two things. They need either Souths to lose, or they need the Raiders to lose the following day.
Yep. So I've got the ladder in front of me now. If the Cowboys win, they go to 32 points. The Rabbitohs and Roosters are both on 30, and only one of them can go to 32.
But the thing is, the Roosters have a poor differential, so that'd be fine for the Cowboys if the Roosters get there. If Souths get there, the Cowboys can't catch Souths.
Ah, true. Yeah, that's a good point. That is a very good point. Or, and you'd need the Raiders. The Cowboys can still make it if the Raiders then lose to the Sharks, because the Cowboys have a better points. It is a bit messy, but the Cowboys are
So that's right. So to make the eight, the Cowboys must win, which is 250, and then they need an either or. They need a Roosters win or a Sharks win.
Yep.
And those are both, you know, if not favorite, kind of pick'em scenarios. So the odds are that, right, exactly. So the odds are the Cowboys would get one of them. So that is better than $5 chance. So even that was a good time. I mean, obviously the odds shouldn't have decreased for that because the Cowboys have won since you endorsed that, but that is still a good pickup. And I'm not going to talk too much about how I see round 27. I typically don't, and I prefer to reserve judgment before I've done a deep dive heading into the upcoming round, but it's great to have you here, and I'm sure people are very interested to kind of hear an early look ahead to round 27. So I appreciate your round 27 thoughts. Let's move to the Saturday slate. So Saturday arvo. So I did have a best bet winner here with the Storm. Nice. Kind of had to wait till late to get it, but I had -18.5 and the Storm won by a margin of 21. In fact, 37-16 over the Titans. And even in this one, I wouldn't say I got it completely right because the Titans gave Melbourne a scare. It was like 20-16 with, you know, 20 to go. And the win was not even assured. And Melbourne did need to win this to lock up a top four spot. So they eventually got the job done. Cronulla losing today then locks them in. So you can talk about how that impacts your view of their next match, which of course is in Brisbane. But also, what'd you learn here? We got our first glimpse of Pappenhausen in a Storm jersey in over 400 days as well.
Yeah, I think this is another game where it's a little bit awkward and hard to make a read of it, right? So Grant got benched, firstly. So he only got into the game about 25-ish minutes.
Well, they've done that a couple of times in the last month, and it feels just like the Penrith strategy where they would hold Appy out of the first 20. And play Kenny in there to take the sting out. Garlic doing that, unless Grant is holding, is carrying something. But he also appeared to cop a heavy knock in this game, didn't he?
Yeah, and I think like the coach might have said, I think Bellamy might have said that they he just had a heavy workload, obviously, with Origin, and they're just trying to freshen him up a little bit. It's just a little bit odd, though, because he's such an important player. And also, usually teams tend to rest people from training, players from training, not games. Like, I just find it a bit odd that you bench one of the best, well, arguably the best hooker in the comp. But moving on from that, I thought the other odd thing was that, A, Grant only got into the game 20, 25 minutes in, and then Pappenhausen, I think, played about the last 10 or 15 maybe at most. Mm. It was very late in the game, yeah. So I think for the Storm, it's almost like they're getting themselves into this awkward situation where, as you said, the game was on the line 20 minutes to go with a Titans side with multiple players missing, playing away from home and nothing to play for. So it's like, it's almost like it's bringing up more questions than answers the way that the Storm are playing, because they're not going to be able to have it so easy their own way like they dominated in the last 10, 15 minutes with any other team, even in the top eight, given how competitive the bottom half of that top eight is. So I think the Storm, I was pretty disappointed, to be honest, but how did you see it?
I was happy enough to at least cover the line. It was enough nervous moments. I mean, Melbourne gets up by 20. And what's really interesting about this is when I tipped it Wednesday, it was 18.5 or 19.5 anywhere, everywhere. By Saturday, it was 20.5 or 21.5 everywhere. So then the Melbourne's up by exactly 20. However, there was still a few minutes to go. So obviously, if you're on the Titans and you've got 20.5 or whatever, 21.5, you wanted them to hang on. And if you've only got on that line on the Saturday, you're going to need another Melbourne score. And I thought it was quite bizarre when Melbourne got on the Titans try line. And by that point, you've had a game that's been pretty competitive for 60, but clearly it's out of hand now. You so often just get that late soft try. Cam Munster, just being cheeky, just kicks a field goal, second tackle with 2.5 to go. And I just knew I'd have to sweat that. And it's funny because one person in the group messaged and said, I had Titans +21.5. I was cheering when he kicked the field goal because it took him off the Titans try line. And someone else I know said I had Storm minus 20 and a half. I needed the field goal to get me over. So it just goes to show the value in getting the best line. But Titans kick off and they go long. I'm like, oh, that's a relief. And then Melbourne drops it. And the Titans actually spent the final 90 seconds on the Storm line. I thought for sure we were getting backdoored the way it's kind of been this year. But Melbourne did hang on. The other massive news is the Jerome Hughes injury, although I don't know the severity. I suspect now that Cronulla has won today that Melbourne will not name very close to a full strength side in Brisbane. And it is going to be very interesting and kind of strange scenario that we could get where the two sides that meet on Friday night, and I think you're, is it Thursday? No, it's Thursday night, isn't it? Because you're going to be there, could meet again a week later. So you don't necessarily want to show everything. Might not do you any favors to get pumped or to give the opponent confidence. But I think most importantly, if you don't have much to gain, you want to definitely save your best footy for a week later. But I think Melbourne is a definite live threat. I just thought they were being super cautious holding Pappenhausen back. As long as Grant's injury is not severe and he's fine for the finals. Munster looks in good touch. Grant, if it was more of a win knocked out of him rather than an injury again, it just seems like the back line, like the teams can't handle the power of Coates and Warbrick, and defensively they're a bit more sound and the forward pack is playing on the front foot. So I think Melbourne's, real live chance, especially you get into a game against Penrith where there's that rivalry there and you know there's not going to be a Luai. And now I'm really getting ahead of myself. But it's exciting to think that Melbourne could be finding their best footy at the right time of the season.
I promise I won't go on about this for too much, but I'm going to be there on Thursday night and I'm super pumped for this Broncos Storm game. Just one comment I wanted to make because it affects not only this week, but the futures. And I'll wrap this up real quick. But if the Broncos are playing their hardest to go get the minor premiership, and if the Storm are missing Hughes and decide not to take a couple of their stars who might be a little bit battered to Brisbane, and if the Broncos do wrap that up, it just means that Broncos Storm is going to happen all over again the week after. And potentially Storm might prefer that with a rested outfit to Broncos Panthers if they do win and the Warriors. Oh, actually, sorry, no. Even if the Storm do win, the Warriors are likely to beat the Dolphins anyway. So the Storm might just think, like, what's the point in playing all of our stars? So just some interesting stuff that's coming up on the horizon. But I'll stop.
And the line is still only 4.5. So, if someone wants to back Brisbane right now, that's the only way I could play it. And Brisbane is the other leg in my Winnieheimer multi that is open. Yeah. However, I guess Brisbane will get to them. They've got injury concerns as well. You know, how bad's the Carrigan issue? Reece Walsh was limping late. Stags will be suspended. Having said all that, I could still only look to Brisbane. Jerome Hughes, they are still waiting to check if it's just a sprain, but it could potentially be an MCL. So I think either way, there's a very low probability he'd play this round, but we'll have to stay tuned as to whether, the severity, how that may affect the finals. I'm jumping all around, but there was just one other point I wanted to make about Dolphins Cowboys, which was Caulfield jumped up, caught the ball, and karate kicked Sean O'Sullivan. And they looked at it as well and said it was fine. That's not fine. It should have been a penalty to the Dolphins. And in fact, the Cowboys scored that set. It doesn't really matter because the Dolphins got towed up. But just like, we've got to get these right. I don't know. Am I crazy? That's just how I saw it. Later on Saturday, look, this is a game that the final score won't suggest how interesting it was. But I thought it was in the balance probably until the Roosters scored right on the stroke of half time. At that stage in Roosters West Tigers, it was in fact 6-6 after the Tigers did score the opening try. But once the Roosters got the ball, I think the Tigers blew an opportunity where they made a line break. The Roosters got the ball for a final set, got a set restart, scored in the corner, slotted the sideline conversion, and ultimately kicked away and won this game 32-8, which was what they needed to do to keep their season alive. The Roosters do not control their destiny, but they can control South's destiny. They can boot South out for 2023 on Friday night. They can put themselves in the eight. It's just a matter of whether they'd remain there will be determined by how the Cowboys and the Raiders go later in the round. But did you take anything out of this one other than Warrior Hargraves isn't going to play for NRL for quite a number of match weeks after a late shot on Coruscant?
I think the only thing, it's like a recurring theme here, but the only thing I can take out of this one is that the Roosters have stuffed up their season. Like, whatever little hope that they had, we've got Warrior Hargraves going to be out for the rest of the season, most likely. Manu, they say he's 50-50 for next week, but there's no way he's playing. Like, he's twinging at his hammy, and apparently it was like a light grade sprain or whatever. I just don't see how he plays. And I think they had one or two other players with some sort of injuries as well. Like, I think even though they won by, 24 points, I reckon they've done their season more harm than good. It's all about it. Like, it's, I know, like, next week's game is meant to be a blockbuster, but both teams missing a couple stars, like, you just would have been so much better with everyone on deck.
I agree, but I still just love the drama of it and, the hatred of the two and that they meet and the fact that, one can end the other's season. I am going to, I was going to tip the Broncos tonight and then I thought, am I missing something? I should kind of do my due diligence. Maybe Brisbane have got more out than I realise, but I can see it and people are tipping us off that this line is moving in front of our eyes. So I am going to give a best bet for those who are watching the Tripod live right now. And I am going to tip Brisbane -9.5 at $1.90 on Ladbrokes and Neds, because I just think there's so much more upside in taking Brisbane, even if they've got multiple players out, everything could possibly go wrong. We've just discussed it. That Sharks result that's just occurred has now meant that Melbourne are cemented into fourth position. And I think they're smart enough to know there's really not much to gain on Thursday. I hate to be a buzzkill because you're going to be there and you'd love to see a competitive housing. No. But round 27, you said it a year ago, where on the recap, I tipped out the Cowboys on the Sunday night and said, that's your best bet of the final round. Penrith's got nothing to gain in the final round. Let's not wait. Did I not say -5.5? Sorry,
no, people are saying -9.5. You shocked me.
Oh, 9.5. No, I don't want 9.5. Yes, I want Brisbane -5.5. At $1.90 against the Melbourne Storm, because on Wednesday that's going to be long gone. I'll type that up now as well to confirm, and I'll post in the group. But I'll throw to you. And then you can even move us into Raiders Broncos.
Sure. Well, it's the perfect game for me to speak about, because so I've been, for those of you guys that don't know too much about Wiki or myself, I've been listening to Jacob on Tripod, for the best part of a decade. I don't know what year you guys started, but I think I've been listening to you guys since about 2016-ish, if that's when you started, Jacob.
Yeah, that was the first year.
Oh, well, there you go. Holy shit. I've been listening to you since your first year then. And I remember Jacob saying, it gets really rough when, you've had a few losing weeks and sort of dealing with the pressure and all that kind of stuff. And even with Wiki's try scorer tips, we've had a couple of weeks where, the tips in the article, we haven't had a good juicy winner for a couple of weeks. And I was feeling the pressure. And this Raiders game was set up beautifully. The news about Carrigan being ruled out hit. Wyden and Chris were named in. Rapana was moved to the wing 24 hours before. And that's a Wiki speciality. We went bang on Rapana anytime try scorer, first, last, bunch of it. I think it's probably the most I've ever had on one try scorer play, Jordan Rapana on the wing. This game starts, he's not playing on the wing. He's playing, I think it was fullback. He's playing fullback. Went huge on the Raiders +10.5 when the Carrigan news hit and Wyden was in. They lose by 11. And we had a bunch of other try scorer plays, backs, forwards, everything at good odds. Nothing hit. And I've got to say, last night, I actually love the Raiders. They're probably my favorite team if I had to pick one. I was disappointed that they lost by 11 at home, lost the line bet, lost the Rapana and a bunch of other try scorers. Probably one of the lowest points I've had in the last couple of years doing a lot of this Wiki try scorer stuff. And I think from a season point of view for the Raiders, I think that's hugely disappointing, because now they go into a game like they're playing Cronulla with Nico Hines. Apparently that quad injury wasn't so serious and he could have played this week if he had to in a final. So you think with the Sharks losing today, Hines comes back And that Raiders to not make the 8 bet is looking pretty juicy. I think we got it at 550. I'm assuming it's a lot shorter than that now. That's it.
So let's repeat what needs to happen for the Raiders to miss the 8. Now, either way, the Roosters or Rabbitohs are going to finish ahead of the Raiders if the Raiders lose. So it just comes down to the Cowboys, whether the Cowboys will be in front of the Raiders. If the Cowboys happen to lose in Penrith, then the Raiders will actually be safe. And even if they lose in Cronulla, they'll still drop in. So it's a simple equation. It's a two-leg multi for the Raiders to miss the 8. It's Cowboys into Sharks, which currently is like 250 into 150. That does raise another interesting question. What's Cronulla playing for next week? I presume a home final, right? They can't miss the 8. They can't make the 4. So you'd like to think, then I wonder, I think they do get to play at Shark Park in the first week of the final. So I would say that's real stakes. So that should be a great way. That's actually like Sunday night next week, I think, or at least Sunday. Yeah, last game of the round. And that's going to decide Raiders' whole season for sure. Oh, well, sorry. If the Cowboys have lost, then the Raiders could fall into the finals anyway. So you kind of really want the Cowboys to have won for the drama to be heightened going into that one. Look, in this game, you said, like, that's pretty bad luck. I think you do such a good job with your try score picks when you find out about positional changes. So you'll find a typical middle forwards playing on an edge, you know, but some bookie, it's hard for the bookies to stay kind of across all this. And if they're still priced as a middle forward, play on an edge, you know, you often will snap those up. And another one is, you know, center, wing, fullback shifts and things like of that nature. When Rapana gets named that he's going to play, you know, on the wing, what are you meant to do with that? But in fact, they kept Croker on the bench, you know, which is kind of bizarre, just played in the last few minutes. But, you know, I feel for punters who just took the Raiders with the start, because that line was right around 9.5, and it felt like everything went right for the Raiders. Carrigan was scratched from the game. Whiten was confirmed to play. Seb Chris was confirmed to play. You know, the Panthers had lost, so the Raiders knew the importance of getting another win this season and knowing they'd be underdogs in their final two games. So this was as good a chance as any. Whiten and Croker's final home game in front of the home fans as well. And, man, they were up for it. It was, you know, anybody's game. It was level scores at halftime, I think 12 all halftime. Raiders hit the front, the back of a penalty, second up. I thought the Raiders could win this. And there was a controversial call. Well, controversial in the sense that it's being debated, but not controversial to me. I thought just a garbage call of an obstruction or a shepherd on Hudson Young that denied the Raiders a repeat set where they would have fielded the Broncos' short dropout, and instead handed a penalty to Brisbane. And Brisbane gets that kind of backbreaking try through Cobbo, and in the end, Walsh scores very late, which is pretty brutal, because if you had that Raiders 9.5, you are covering the whole way through until that final play. But as for Brisbane, you've still got to hand it to them with the guys they had out, and, you know, Walsh was limping late. They're still able to get the win, which keeps them on top of the ladder. And I think it would be pretty meaningful to Brisbane, knowing where they were and that they received a wooden spoon just, what, 2 or 3 years ago, that they can actually pick up some silverware before the finals even kick off.
Yeah, I've been holding myself back. Just give me like 30 seconds to sum up or just continue on what you just said, right? So Sticky, in Croker and Wyden's last game, decides to play Wyden out of position at center, bench Croker. And the thing that really kills me, because as I said, I was on the losing side of all of this, right? And I actually love the Raiders too. I'm just looking at the try scores now. Cobbo, Stags, Cobbo, and I think Walsh scored in the right corner as well. So that's 4, maybe 5 tries scored on the Broncos right, on the left.
Raiders left edge.
With Wyden and Chris. Wyden at center, Chris at wing, we're defending. And the best part of it, Rapana, who was meant to be playing on the wing, wasn't, gets sin binned with 15 minutes to go, and the Broncos score to lose that line bet as well. I'm done. I'm not talking about the Raiders anymore. I'll move on.
Yeah, I felt like a few of the games I left alone this week would have won, but all information known to me on Saturday night, I really thought the Raiders were a strong bet, so I was kind of grateful to have not be on that one and cop another bad beat. Let's move to Sunday, and here was my other losing best bet of the round because I backed the Canterbury Bulldogs, who scored the opening try. Looked okay in the first 10 or 15 minutes, but it became clear to me that they didn't want to play footy if it involved defending. They were happy when they had the ball. They're happy enough. And the minute the Manly got it, they weren't interested at all, the Bulldogs. So then my bet was kind of sunk. Manly, a side that I thought would have just as much questionable motivation, if not more, and had a heartbreaking loss over in New Zealand a week ago, coming into this one, I think just more maturity and leadership. You know, and the man that was on fire was DCE, pulling every string. And they've got, you know, other senior players that lead the way, like your Jake Trbojevic. Is right. I suppose if I'm critiquing my tip where I went wrong, I didn't really think there's much between these sides in terms of talent. Therefore, I was willing to take the Dogs with a start. But there's a massive void of leadership. I don't know. Matty Burton doesn't seem to kind of say, follow me, guys. Marnie gets frustrated and tries to do too much at times. And the Dogs, they looked okay with ball in hand. But it's like, the other thing that kills me is if you bet against the Bulldogs, you know that like Matty Burton's kicking game is going to give you nightmares. But whenever I seem to be on the Dogs, Burton's kicking game hurts them. Like he puts up these bombs that go into orbit and they come down and bounce out for a seven tackle set. And you know the Dogs can't defend it and they give up a try, or another time they get a penalty, can't find touch. So his boot's no good to me then. And of course, considered a try. And in the end, the Seagulls really opened the Doggies up. Although the Doggies did score a couple of, late consolation tries in the final 6 or 7 minutes, which makes the score look a little closer. They were blown off the park. But what did you make of this one? I guess we don't have to spend too long on two sides that won't be playing much more footy this season.
I think I will say that pre-game, I actually agreed with you. And this is why I don't bet sort of handicaps and lines and stuff. And if I ever do, I usually follow what you say. But I actually thought the Dogs have had almost their best possible side on paper for a couple of weeks now. So I was going to put a small bet on Dogs plus 0.65 pre-game for a bit of fun. But then when those two centers were ruled out yesterday, I thought, you know what, I just won't touch this game and I'll just watch it. Not too much to say from the sides. I'll try to cover this in 30 seconds though, because it's been a really frustrating couple of weeks for Wiki's tips. But we hit Corey Waddell, first try score at 41s, which sort of like reversed the tide a little bit for us. And then our dabble multi got up at 29-1. I think it was Jason Saab, 2+ tries, and Toby Sexton to score a try and something else. That got up at 29s. And for the premium guys, we also hit Toby Sexton, which was our last try score at 41. So we had an amazing game for two teams that weren't playing much. I thought the only good part of this game was that it was high scoring. The worst thing you want to see is a 2 p.m. Sunday game, two teams with nothing to play for, and they have like an 18-14 or whatever game. You don't want to see that. So that's the only positive I can think of.
Yeah, the obvious bet here as well, like, was probably overs more than trying to pick which side, because I just felt like, as anyone's game, why are Manly such solid favourites? So I'll take the Dogs. And you're right, it was close to probably the strongest side they could have named. And so it was pretty bad luck to have Kiraz and Burns.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like 2 weeks ago, I'm a massive optimist, and which is why I don't do handicapping and stuff. So I thought Dogs 2 weeks ago, great. You know, you got kick out back, bird in that left edge, good to go. They were disappointing. Then last week, I was like, oh, they've had a game together, so then they'll be fine this week. They weren't. This week, I was like, Manly's also got nothing to play for. 3 weeks in a row, they're gelling. They must be better. That's it. They're gone.
That's it. And ultimately, you can just look back and say, once they went to the bye, they just mentally checked out, which you often see when you've got kind of a dead coach walking or they're starting to lose the locker room. But Serraldo's there for 4 or 5 years. Like, they should be still playing for him. I'm stunned at how feeble this Dogs team is. Absolutely no toughness. Like, another example is Manly makes, you know, an easy line break. The Dogs actually scramble and cover it, but then give up super soft try. And that happened on more than one occasion. But the one that's coming to mind, who was it that went into dummy half for the Seagulls? I think it was just Croker. Goes into dummy half.
It's the rookie. Croker and the rookie, sorry. Yeah.
And Perham is at fullback, but also at marker. And he stands. Sorry, I'm mistaken if it wasn't Croker. Oh, I know. You're talking about Gordon Chan Kum Tong, but not his try. But I think it was Lockie Croker, this one. He goes for a scoop from dummy half. And dead set, Perham is like wrestling him and holding him up on his own for like 7 seconds while all the other Bulldogs are standing around, and it gives him time to eventually slip to the ground and ground it. Like, there's no desperation whatsoever. So that's, yeah, pretty putrid from the Bulldogs and pretty worrying. I can only guess that Seraldo is trying to demand such a high standard that he's actually flogging them to the point that they don't have the juice to play their best footy on the weekends, and maybe they think they're going to get gains from this. Look, Luke has commented they're not sure where they go from here, and I'm pretty sure it's the same Luke that called me out on Wednesday for my dodgy Dogs tip and said Manly -5.5 was the play, and I challenged him then, but I'll fess up that I got this one wrong because I backed this Bulldogs team that I realized, you know, 20, 30 minutes in had no heart. And when you're back, it's a pretty sickening feeling playing a team that has just given up, which is kind of, that's why, you know, I just didn't pull the trigger on Para because there was the chance of that happening. Yeah. And it's kind of annoying that you do see teams like Para season is over. The Dragon season is over. The Titan season's over. And so is Manly's for that matter. But those teams still fought. The Bulldogs really didn't. So I give it to Luke there. As for the Dogs' new recruits, I do think Stephen Crichton, especially if he gets unleashed at fullback, like that's a pretty significant boost there. And there have been some key players like Kikau who didn't play a whole year here. But I do think they need ideally they need an elite lock. Easier said than done. And whether Sexton is the answer at seven is another challenge for the Dogs. But personnel aside, they need attitude and they need to really get some toughness back because it's totally vanished this year. We've got one more game to discuss, which is the one we just saw, which was probably a bit of a surprise. It was the fourth leg of my multi at least. So that was a positive that, as I said, we go alive into round 27. But I left it on the table. Knights -3.5 on Wednesday. Of course, you don't know that the Sharks' most influential player, Nico Hines, will be scratched a couple of days later, but probably should have been on regardless. Then this game was actually in the balance. The Sharks, in fact, led it, scored the opening try. It was level at the break. But once Newcastle got on top, they are a freight train. And now that's got to be... I'm losing track of these winning streaks. I said before that the Warriors have won 7 in a row. Well, now I can't remember. Have the Knights also won 7 or is it 8?
I think it's 8.
In a row. This is wild. And they've booked their finals ticket as well. And they'll play next week the Dragons to ensure that that elimination final in week 1 of the finals will be at home where the crowd is just rocking and they got yet another sellout. So it's just all positive signs for the Knights. As for Cronulla, it's a understandable loss, but the magnitude could be a bit alarming. What do you learn from this one?
I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure they've locked in. No, they have. They've locked in a home final. So Joey Jones was saying that on TV. So they go to 33 points and the Sharks and Raiders who play each other are both on 33.
Yes. Yeah, so there's two teams that can get above them, but they play each other. Right. And so yes, Knights will be fifth or sixth.
Yeah. And even if they do draw and both end up on the same points, Knights have like a 258 point differential. Well, they're ahead by that much on the Raiders. So The Knights locked in on the final. And the markets for that Dragons-Knights game next week went down as soon as that was obvious. So, yeah, no chance.
So that's another really interesting one because the Knights could use that as their buy. It would actually make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
These are the opportunities. So I would actually also say stay tuned on social media for myself and Nicole as well. And I've put a link to Wiki in this show description too if people are more interested in what Nicole brings out, especially focusing on try scorers. And you heard what he hit, you know, just today. And that's the nature of try scorers. It can be, you know, feast or famine. But when you hit, you can really get some juicy odds, especially the way Nicole plays them. So that's something to keep an eye on for Newcastle next week. Cronulla have revitalized their season anyway. They're safe. They're going to be playing finals footy. So as you said, they'll play Canberra next week to decide if they can potentially get to host. But was there anything else you learned out of this one before we get out of here on Friday night? Sunday night.
A really important thing that I took out of this game, very different to teams like the Storm and a couple of the Warriors, who kind of had the opportunities to put teams away and just didn't, even though they were bottom four or bottom eight teams that had nothing to play for, etc. I think the most impressive thing about this Knights game, and I was riding the Knights line very hard. I got on it multiple times. The one really impressive thing was that, yeah, Connor Tracy scores the opening try. The Knights have a couple of close calls. Then it's 6-6. The game's, you know, still in the balance. but then just like put the foot on the pedal and just blow the Sharks away. And it's easy to say that, yeah, Nico Hines was out. It was old boys day in Newcastle. They had everything to play for. But the reality is that the Sharks are really, really competitive, playing really well with a lot of confidence from the last three or four games that they've won. But the Knights had it in them to sort of compete, and then bang, they win by 26 points. So I think that's really, really impressive.
That's it. It's showing, you know, the ability to really be ruthless. So I've said this before about this win streak of the Knights. Like, not many of those games have even been close. Whereas earlier in the year when they were playing close matches, they were losing the majority. As I see in the comments, Luke saying, potential for lots of teams to rest. Keep your fingers on the pulse. Absolutely agree. I always love this year or this time of year because it is a nightmare for the bookies and there are opportunities out there. I was just having another quick scan and I can't see the Knights game up anywhere, but I also think Ponga went off early and that's a lot of bookies probably pulled the game just because there could be uncertainty with Ponga. But it was probably a wise move because the fact is, even if Ponga's right to go, from what we've just established, it'd be hard to understand why Newcastle would risk anyone next week. So we actually did a whole dedicated pod a year ago. I think I had Tristan on just talking about how they were even going to price up this round. But more uncertainty is always a positive for punters because it's harder work for the bookies. So I've seen people message me and showing me that they had smashed the Broncos -5.5 already. And I've just looked again and I did post it in the Discord and the Tripod group and it's already out to 8.5, even on Ladbrokes and Ned. So there you go. There's a reward for those that do tune in on a Sunday night with us. And thanks for joining me to go through it, Nicole, giving us a different voice. And you're going to have some more involvement with us. We're going to work with you leading up to and during the finals. Clarkie, if I didn't say this already, he went to Melbourne. He saw his Titans put up a fight and be in the game for the majority and actually got to then catch up with the boys at a function Saturday night. So he's had a great weekend, but he was in transit today. So instead of putting the pressure on him to get back and be able to do the recap where he may not have caught the Sunday games on time in full, we had this opportunity to bring in Nicole and hear how he saw it. So I appreciate your time, Nicole. Thanks. As I said, people can follow Nicole. If they didn't know already, the link in the show description. Or take us out with this, Nicole, just to explain your trip to Brisbane this week. You're going to a conference. It sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So I'm from Sydney, but the Australian Sports Tech Conference is in Brisbane this Thursday. So we'll literally be at the startup day on the Wednesday. Our company, Wiki, I think a lot of people don't know that I do it full-time, but I do it full-time. We're part of the Accelerator program. Thursday is a conference, but more importantly, Thursday night, Broncos Storm will be there. We're going to have a lot of these early Broncos bets to ride. So it's going to be an awesome night. And hopefully the one big thing, I think, even if Melbourne do rest a lot of their players, I reckon Pappenhausen gets a full game in. Surely they're going to run him once before the finals.
Definitely.
I think if that's the main highlight, that's the main highlight. It's going to be an awesome night.
Well, hope you have a great week. Thanks again for joining me tonight. Hope everyone who tuned in has a great week. Despite my tips and misfiring again, of course, I'll stick at it. And we've still got a little bit of time to finish this year on a positive note, and hopefully that can include the Winnie Heimer multi if you are riding that one with a couple of legs to go. And as has been stated in the comments, great time of the season to find some value. So stay tuned on all our social media channels because not only may we find lines that could be killer and beat the closer by big magnitude, but there could be value plays out there like you referred to a year ago where we weren't just hitting the Cowboys line against Penrith, but big margin bets as well, you know, and the Cowboys went from, I think, a slight favorite to like a 20-point favorite in that game. So that just gives you some idea. Or go the year before, it was a Dragons Storm game where we had a 20-point line move. So it's a wild time. It's an exciting race to the finish line to find out who's going to be in the eight and the positions they're going to take. So I can't wait to guide us through it, hopefully effectively. We'll see how we go anyway. Thanks again, Nicole. Have a good night. Cheers, everyone. Lego. Yeah.